Wait, don't talk about it now.
Yeah,
don't
okay.
Oh, we if we have talk time about to... that. Yeah, I think those are completely opposite.
Hey, you remember said the energy level?
But... Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get it on. Come on.
Coach Leander here.
I want to hear angry Leander more often.
Ready? Ready to begin? Let's go.
Ready.
Hello! And welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. I'm back with a motley crew of Apple fanboys. Governor Leander Caney is here. Welcome, Leander.
Thanks, Evan.
We have Buster Heine. Welcome, Buster.
Hey, man.
Alex Excelsior, alien probe expert Heath, is with us.
What's up?
And we have an excellent show for you guys today. I know you don't believe me, but stay tuned to the end. And I think you're going to agree, this might be the best show we've done this week. I want to give a special thanks to Shutterstock, sponsoring yet again. If you've never heard of Shutterstock, you need to check out Shutterstock.com to all of my videographer homeboys out there and girls and people doing presentations, people that need stock videography for their websites, their projects, their films, their wedding videos. They have over 700,000 high-quality clips for you to choose from. Shutterstock.com. You can browse all their clips, too. You don't even need to sign up for an account. Just go check them out. And we'll talk a little bit more about them later in the show, tell you how you can save 30% off your order when you decide to order some video clips. Guys, what do you say we start with a quick little news cruise?
Ooh.
Ooh.
That was supposed to be a foghorn. Did that sound like a foghorn?
Close.
Did it?
What do you cruise in that has a foghorn?
I don't know. It was like a cruise ship.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've never been on a cruise ship, though, so I'm not sure if that's exactly how they sound. Let's start with... the big news, obviously, this week, the big deal, is the September 10th Apple event, which has been all but confirmed. Let's see here. All Things D reporting that we are going to have a event on Tuesday, September 10th. Jim Dalrymple has confirmed it. He's the one-word blogger with his yep, which I think kind of makes it fact. Yes, Alex?
Pretty much, yeah.
So this is most likely, I would say, like 99% going to happen unless Apple, yeah, for some reason changes it last minute, which they do sometimes.
Bloomberg got it too, so it's gotten to that point to where everyone's just piling on.
Yeah,
we're getting a lot of rumors now. They're starting to happen faster and faster, especially for that low-cost iPhone, which we're going to talk about later in the show. So that's always a good sign, right? Because that generally means that
this point in the year, the rumors really start flying right before a product announcement.
It's going to be
it's all the cases. I mean, it's all coming out of the China. You know, all the Chinese case manufacturers want to get a jump on it, so they want to know what the form factor is. And it's also a huge. They're making millions of these things. You know, they must have a big production line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And it's leaky.
Right, and it's based off existing parts, so it's just going to happen.
You know, I was just thinking for the iPhone 5C, if that's what they call it, with the plastic back, I wonder if people are going to feel the need to put a case on there because it's already plastic.
Well, but I mean, you still put a case on the iPhone 3 or iPhone 3G and 3GS because
I didn't.
Well, you should. I mean, even if you didn't, though, I mean, those cases would crack all the time
when you dropped them. I mean, I did have to buy four within a year.
Yeah.
There you go. Lesson learned. Everyone puts rubbery condoms on the plastic ones.
You're gonna put rubbery condoms.
You could do that. That would be a cheap form of protection, I guess. No pun intended. You know, I guess you could. You could probably talk through one of those too.
Well, I think, you know what I mean.
What's that?
Not a real condom. Those rubbery cases.
Oh, you mean like the silicone ones?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, I thought you meant a real condom. They make them iPhone size now.
Right.
I saw it in a gas station once.
they have them like extra ribbed so you just don't drop it ever, you know? Just like for
it yeah. just stays Otter, near attraction.
Yeah. That's the OtterBox brand.
Yeah, right. You know, that's a new market parallel for them. Like OtterBox, you get into the contraceptive business.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Already you already trust us for your iPhone protection.
Hey, LifeProof. Best brand name ever, LifeProof for contraceptives.
That's a good name.
Yeah, those are good cases too. Actually, I think they're better than the OtterBox ones.
Well, yeah, now OtterBox bought them. So,
I see. Okay.
So now they're all OtterBox. But we digress. Let's keep on with the
truth. So, how many colors is the 5C coming in?
We got to save that for
like
yay.
Five.
Don't we have to say that for yay or nay?
That's a great point. Well. For those listening, we are going to be doing a yay or nay. We haven't done one of these in forever, so we're going to dispel or confirm. Well, tell you our opinions on all the newest rumors for the iPhone or for the September 10th event later on in the show. So you'll want to stick around for that. I don't think we're going to talk about colors though. So we could talk about that. I think it's just yellow, blue, and red is what I heard.
Yellow,
magenta,
blue, red,
not magenta.
Pink. Yeah, there's pink.
Periwinkle.
It's probably going to be like. Periwinkle, isn't that green?
It's like pink.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Come no, periwinkle. You know that, and I don't. Huh?
Got that periwinkle?
Nothing.
Everyone's talking at the same time. What? Let's all just talk. Everyone, just start talking.
Periwinkle's not a pink color, but anyway.
Buster knows. Yeah, this information.
I know all about my feminine pastels. You
that's
know?
Right. He has an assortment of undergarments in Periwinkle. He knows these things. Alex, you also wanted to talk about matcha.
Did want to talk about matcha.
Well, I just briefly. I mean,
okay.
Geez, guys.
Can you drop the news on us like it's hot?
No, it just when Apple acquires a company, it's kind of newsworthy
because
they don't
so.
Do it when they don't do it very often, and so they bought matcha. Which is this video search and recommendation service, and it basically takes all of your cable shows and then sources from like Netflix and iTunes and puts them all together in a pretty TV guide, and it has like some recommendation algorithms and stuff like that. So yeah, it seems like Apple's getting pretty serious about the Apple TV.
Slowly but surely building up their arsenal of features. Right. I've never used this app. Have you? Was it cool?
No, I'd heard about it, and you can see, you know, from like the screenshots and stuff, it just looks like kind of a well-designed, clean cable guide kind of thing that also pulls in online content, which sounds like something Apple would do.
Yeah, the interface looked pretty good.
Yeah,
from the screenshots I saw. Well, we don't want to stick on news too long. There wasn't a whole lot of news this week, and of course, for those of you following me on Twitter, you know that I saw the JOBS movie last night, and I thought we could talk about that. And actually, Leander, seeing as though you wrote the book on Steve Jobs,
yeah,
I was hoping. For those that don't know, Leander Caney wrote a book called Inside Steve's Brain, one of the first Steve Jobs books,
a bestseller
available on Amazon. So if anyone among us knows what was happening inside Steve's brain, it's Leander Caney. And so Leander, as we're talking about this movie, I was hoping that you could kind of interject. Maybe we could do like a comparison of movie Steve Jobs versus actual Steve Jobs.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that
right.
Okay?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, great. So I'm the only one that's seen it because I weaseled my way in to a press screening. I just flashed my Cult of Mac badge and they just ushered me right in, of course.
Oh, cool, right.
Front row center. And I was like, this doesn't sound as good as I thought. So I actually got pretty good seats. I got there and I was surprised. The line was huge, really huge. And I was a little worried that I wasn't going to get in. And then I went to the back of the line and I was like, hey, are you guys here to see the Jobs movie? And they're like, no, we're here to see Kick-Ass. I was like, oh. So I went and talked to the usher. I'm like, where's the Jobs line? He's like, it's over there, sir. And it was like probably one quarter the size. I should have guessed by the crowd in the line too. Much different crowd, as you can imagine.
Well, so, what they look like? The one was a bunch of like kids, yeah. And
yeah, kids, other... very attractive males with very good physiques. people like us, essentially. And So I got my seat, and I apologize again to everyone following me on Twitter of all the Twitter spam, because there was some girl sitting in front of me with a Galaxy phone, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. She's like sitting there scrolling on her Galaxy phone in the middle of the movie. But that gave me entertainment until the show started. We're not going to do any spoilers, okay? Although this is a movie about Steve Jobs, there's not really any spoilers to be had. Everyone knows what happened in his life. But I'll do my best not to reveal anything from the movie. I'll just talk about it in generalities. Oh. So let me just say, at the very end, when it was all over, no one was clapping.
Okay. So that good.
There was not like a ruckus applause. No one was, looking really excited to have seen the movie. I hate to deflate it right off the start, but I don't want to bury the lead. This is not...
Oh, my God. Bummer.
It's not a great movie. It's not a great movie, but it is a movie that I think Apple fans should see, because it does cover Steve Jobs' life from his college years all the way up until the first iPhone. And let's start with the good, okay? Because I don't want to just sit here and say all the bad things that I thought about the movie.
Let's go straight to the bad. Come on. Let's just
go straight to the bad stuff. So the good part of this movie is... I thought that it hit on a lot of great Steve Jobs lore. So everything that you've heard about Steve Jobs, maybe stories you've heard, outrageous things that he did or said to people, that stuff was worked in, and it was cool to see all those things kind of replayed dramatically. Josh Gad's performance. What are you going to say, Leander?
Does he fire someone in an elevator?
No. That didn't happen.
Does he fire anybody?
He does. People do get fired. And it's very cathartic. Huh?
Is Josh Gad one of them?
No, Josh Gad is not one of them. That's not a spoiler. Josh Gad, who plays Steve Wozniak, I think he's the star of the movie. He did a fantastic job. I mean, actually, a lot of the movie has really, really talented actors. For the most part.
With one exception.
There's one glaring exception.
I heard the guy that plays John Scully is pretty good.
Yes. Really, really, honestly, fantastic actors in the movie. And as I mentioned, Josh Gad's performance of Steve Wozniak, I thought was amazing. He painted him
But he's nothing like... It's nothing like the real Woz, though.
I don't know that. I don't know the intricacies of Steve Wozniak's personality.
I'm just talking about his mannerisms. Like, it's not even anywhere close to how Woz sounded.
Yeah, but it's a movie. It's supposed to be entertaining. This is a Hollywood production, man.
He did not talk nonstop. In fact, he was very articulate and didn't speak a lot in the movie, especially towards the end. But he paints Steve Wozniak as just kind of a loyal, naive friend who just wanted to build cool stuff and got pulled into this whole Apple thing.
Didn't Woz say that he felt they painted him a little bit better than they did Jobs anyway? I think he told that to Gizmodo back when the first trailer or like the first scene came out where they were talking in that parking lot. Yeah.
He based that on a trailer?
Yeah. It's Woz, though. He could do that. Yeah,
right. I thought the Wozniak performance was incredible. A lot of the supporting cast were incredible. But let's move on to maybe the things that weren't so great.
You know, one thing I want to know is what was the source of their material? Do you know what they used to get the stories?
It was an amateur. It was a screenwriter. It was his first time. It was this guy. It's this guy in Texas who made the whole movie. And it was, it's really supposed to be like a pro Jobs is awesome movie.
I think we have an interview with him coming out, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Yeah.
With the writer of the movie?
The director.
Oh, the director of the movie. Fantastic. Yeah, that would be really interesting. I mean, because you said it was his first time creating something like this, Buster.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think his name's Joshua. I think it's Joshua Michael Stern. I'm not sure.
The director, on the other hand, has direct awesome flicks like that one Kevin Costner movie where he has the deciding vote in the election. Oh, what was that one?
I'm not sure.
Regardless, he's obviously memorable.
Wait, he directed Waterworld?
Yeah.
I actually like that movie.
It's the only Kevin Costner picture I can think of.
Oh, Sleepo. That's the one. Okay.
Dances with turkeys.
Dances with water? I think I saw that. Actually, I want to back up. One more good thing about the movie. It's fun. I think that if you really like Apple's company, it's cool to see a lot of these historical events played out, and they cram, as I said, a lot of stuff in here. I'm not sure how long the movie was, but it felt like it was about 2 hours. It felt like it was about 6 hours.
That's a good sign. Get
yeah, money, so man. I don't know if you'd want to see it in the movie theater. I think you could definitely see it like after it leaves theaters, and you'd probably be happy.
When it's free on YouTube?
When it's free. If I had to pay for this movie, if I had paid, I would have been upset. I thought the movie was...
That's such a strong endorsement.
I was like... Oh my God! Yeah.
So let me also caveat. I think you should. I think all Apple fans should see it.
Why?
But you just said you would have been mad if you would have paid to see it.
Yeah, that's the thing is you're saying people you'd be mad, but people should see it.
But I caveated that with in the theater. I mean, if you paid $4 to rent it and a whole group of people got to watch it, I think it's worth it. But if you had to pay, if you're in New York City and you have to pay $13 to go see this in the theater. That I don't think would necessarily be worth it, especially if you're taking a date and then it's like $25, $26.
Okay.
Maybe
plus
not worth
not
it.
Go
plus
well.
Popcorn.
Yeah, that's
popcorn.
One date that's going to end poorly. So stuff I didn't necessarily like. The movie felt, and I'm glad that you said it, Buster, like it was the work of somebody who has not done this before. It was, as I like to think about it, it was overstuffed. And it was unfocused. So
previews, it looks like they have 60 different scenes in it, which is crazy.
And they do. And as Leander mentioned, if you like this podcast, you actually might love this movie. It's overstuffed and unfocused. But it is. There's too much stuff in it. They just move from one event to the next, to the next, to the next. And if you weren't a hardcore Apple fan, I think it would be easy to get lost. And you're like, why are they showing me this?
Like his random trip to Asia?
Yes. Like his trip to India, which honestly, I don't know why they showed that. There was nothing for you to get out of that as a movie
Does
watcher.
Does he get the runs?
He doesn't get the runs, so there's no comedy there.
Does he find enlightenment, though?
I mean, he does some cool things with his hands, and he does
LSD?
He doesn't do any LSD. Not there.
Okay.
In other parts of the movie, LSD is used. And... they really tried hard, and in this way, it kind of felt like a fan film. They really tried hard to work in every little thing that you may know about Steve Jobs and just how awesome he was. Like, for example, in one scene, again, no spoilers, not plot significant stuff. Steve is handed some food, and one of the things put in front of him is grapes. And somebody in the movie says to somebody else, oh, Steve's a fruitarian. He only eats fruit. And it's like... okay, why did you need to say that here? And there was another scene where Steve was meeting. Well, I'm just going to say this. This is a popular story from Apple lore. So if this ruins it for you, I'm sorry, but maybe skip ahead 10 seconds here, 20 seconds. I'm long winded. So John Scully gets hired, right? And as soon as I see John Scully, I'm like, okay, where's the scene where they're going to talk about the sugared water, right?
Yeah.
And not even 30 seconds in, of course they bring that up. John Scully goes, oh, well, as Steve told me when he hired me, why would I want to just sell sugared water? And I was like, ugh.
They said it like that?
No, I'm paraphrasing poorly.
And
but
sugar water.
No, but like they didn't even show the scene.
They did not
Scully
show
the scene.
It was Scully recounting the scene. Oh. And in that way, they tried to work a lot of that kind of stuff in.
Oh,
that
my God,
just
that sounds like, you know, screenplay 101, you know, show, don't tell.
Yeah, there you go. And there's a lot of stuff like that in there. In fact, some of the movie is really saccharine. It just felt like a tribute film. And there were parts in it that were melodramatic, and I actually was laughing to myself, like uncontrollably laughing. I was trying not to disturb the people around me.
So you were laughing at all the serious parts?
I was laughing at stuff that I don't think were comedic moments. Yes,
that's a good sign.
And let's talk about maybe this will become a cult classic. Let's talk about Ashton Kutcher's performance in particular. Okay. So as I mentioned, the movie is filled with these really amazing actors, you can judge the merits of his performance on your own. But for me, it was those performances were juxtaposed by Ashton Kutcher's performance. Okay. Because it made his performance stand out a lot more because they were such amazing actors. And I had a really hard time buying him as Steve Jobs. To me, for most of the film, it felt like Ashton Kutcher playing Steve Jobs, which some people may not see because, you know, maybe they're not as knowledgeable, you know, of Steve Jobs' mannerisms or his, you know, history or whatever. But his walk, he adopted Steve Jobs' walk, and I found it to be unbelievable and kind of limbering. He kind of looked like Abraham Lincoln walking around. And it was like, it looked unnatural. It looked like Ashton Kutcher was trying to walk like Steve Jobs. And when he spoke, that happened a lot as well. And Leander, you pipe in here if you would. The movie kind of portrayed Steve Jobs as a sociopath. I mean, borderline autistic sociopath. He would be nice one moment, and then for no reason, he would just start screaming at people. And even when he was being nice, he came off as very cold and unemotional and uncharismatic.
Manipulative.
And it didn't really feel like that was what he was actually like.
Oh, really?
Not to me. I mean, I see Steve Jobs as a person who had problems dealing with other people, but this movie, I think, was the opposite. It portrayed Steve Jobs as those problems first and foremost, and then occasionally he would be normal. And that's not how I ever saw Steve, and maybe that's, you know, not really what he was like, but, you know, feel free to pipe in here, Leander or Buster.
Yeah, you know, people who've worked with him said that he had a lot of moods. Mm-hmm. You can never really predict what kind of mood he was going to be in. Mm-hmm. And he was under a lot of pressure. He was highly scheduled, you know. But there's lots of stories about like stuff like that. I mean, you know, that he was very manipulative and he wasn't, you know, very warm and friendly towards most people that work with him. I mean, he didn't mix work with pleasure. You know, he was all business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, stuff could set him off really quickly. I mean, he was had an extremely volatile temper. Mm-hmm. But then people said, you know, it wasn't personal. You know, and that, I guess, is where the sociopathic sort of stuff comes in, you know. He would yell in someone's face, nose to nose, but he would expect them to fight back, but not take it personally. Mm-hmm. And they're sort of, you know, they were fighting about ideas, and it was a way of testing people, like if their ideas were sound, you know, because if someone fights for something, then you can be sure that they're committed to it and they have they believe in what they're advocating. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know. He played a lot of tricks like that. But, I mean, I don't think anyone can go through life like that, you know.
He kind of was portrayed as a child, though. I mean, the way you describe it, it kind of sounds like he used tactics to make people, you know, fight for what they believed in. And here, whenever he's having a serious conversation, it just felt strange. It felt like someone being, you know, not authentic. And
yeah, well, I think people did say that. People did say that about him, you know, but everyone's relationship was different. It was extremely complex. You know, I don't think he manipulated Johnny Ive. I'm sure he had a very straightforward, friendly relationship with him. I heard about a couple of arguments, but, you know, he wasn't screaming in his face, but he screamed a lot with, you know, some of his other executives.
Hmm.
I think Rubenstein, they fought a lot. You know,
they fight a lot in the movie, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you know. Each relationship was different. You know, I don't really know. I mean, I don't think he was, you know, I don't think he's obviously not a classic sociopath, you know what I mean? Because he was extremely productive.
Yeah, well, he was extremely productive in the movie as well. And, I mean, the picture did a good job at demonstrating that what was most important to him, and this is one of the things I liked about the movie, was making a quality product and building the absolute best product possible, and at the expense of relationships, at the expense of money, at the expense of you know, other people's feelings. He just wanted to build the best products, and if he had to scream at you, he would. If he had to berate you in front of other people, he would. Nothing mattered to him but the product, and everything else in his life was secondary. And maybe that was true when he was younger.
I think that's probably true, and yeah, that sounds like,
that's,
you know,
kind
fairly
of Yeah, Ashton said that was his interpretation of Jobs, is that the only way Jobs was, the way Jobs found like love through other people was through products. Like he made really great products that he loved to find social acceptance or something. Was how Ashton felt about it, is what he said. So I mean, that definitely is going to leak over into his performance of him.
I kind of wish that they had chosen not Ashton Kutcher to play this role.
who do you think should play
him? I don't know. I think the problem with Ashton is that he was too close, honestly. I think looks he was too close. Not looks, although he did.
Oh, you mean emotionally.
I mean emotionally close.
No, I completely agree with that because, yeah, I mean, when you see him talking about the film and promoting it, it just sounds like, you know, Ashton's Kutcher's love affair for Steve Jobs kind of, you know, tainted like the way that you would perform it, you know, as an actor.
That's what he said in interviews, is that's the reason he took it, remember, is because he loved him so much he would rather have somebody that loved him screw him up than somebody who didn't.
Well, I mean, it's accomplished, y'all.
I'm just saying, if Daniel Day-Lewis ends up playing Jobs in another movie, I called it.
Oh, holy, yeah.
I think he would be great. You know,
he would totally do it. That's the kind of role he would do. Yeah. Right? From Abraham Lincoln to Steve Jobs.
And with Aaron Sorkin penning the script. No, go ahead, Buster.
Well, I mean, with an actor, you really need an actor who can disappear into the Jobs. Well, like you said, it's Ashton Kutcher playing Steve Jobs. Whereas with somebody like Daniel Day-Lewis, you never realize that that's Daniel Day-Lewis. I don't feel like I know who that guy is personally because his roles are all different, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would become Jobs for like a year on set and freak everyone out.
Yeah, you would have some awesome like
yelling at people, firing them.
He'd walk around yelling at people, then crying in the corner.
There were some scenes where Ashton would yell like in frustration, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is some of this is tough to watch. When we left the movie theater, I turned to the people next to me, and they just looked bewildered. And I was like, did you like the movie? And they were kind of on the fence, and I explained to them that the movie had been pulled because the reviews had not been great when they were originally going to release the movie, and that it had been pushed back, and one of them in particular didn't know that. And by the end of that discussion, they were kind of like, maybe those initial reviews were maybe right. Not the best movie in the world, but, you know, it was enjoyable. I don't think that they were ready to go back and spend the money to see it again. But I hate to deflate everyone. You know, I do think that you should see it. I don't think you're going to dislike the film. I think I probably will watch it again. And maybe people's perspective of Ashton Kutcher as Steve Jobs, it's very subjective. Maybe you'll like it a lot. He does, at times, disappear into the role, but I do think that his love affair with Steve Jobs prevented him from being Steve Jobs in the movie as opposed to playing Ashton Kutcher as Steve Jobs in the movie. I'm going to be really interested to see what you guys think. Are you guys planning on seeing it?
Probably, or probably finding a place to download it from the internet.
Yeah, I'm probably not.
Maybe for what? I would love to go see this with Tim Cook.
Probably going
to go see it with Ashton and watch him cry as he, you know.
I'm going
to
see it on
my watch. He's reciting the lines to himself quietly. Yeah.
You don't understand. I had a SoundCloud file of 20 hours of Steve Jobs' voice just for months that I listened to.
I'd pay $13 for that. Alex, what were you going to say?
I'm probably going to stream it on my Nexus 7.
Yeah, you mean your fave and rave pick.
Right.
Yeah, good. I think that's great. Leander, are you planning on seeing it?
Yeah. I might go see it on Friday.
Okay. I'm definitely interested to hear what you think because, again, one man's perspective. I am not a movie critic. This is just an Apple fan's perspective. You know, I'm just an average moviegoer. So, you know, take that how you will. And you should go see it, I think. And then if you loved it, tell me that you think that Ashton deserves an Oscar for his performance, and I will block you on Twitter.
Well, I'll check in. We'll check in next week. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Let's take a quick break, and I'm going to tell everyone about. I almost just said audible.com. I'm going to tell everyone about Shutterstock.com, the place to go for your stock videography needs. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, y'all. Stay tuned.
Hey, y'all.
Aaron Elijah here, guys. I want to tell you about Shutterstock.com, our sponsor for this week. Really excited to tell you about Shutterstock because they have a huge repository of all the video clips that you're going to need for your next creative project. Over 700,000 high quality video clips, in fact, and that's going to be stock video clips, 2D animations, 3D motion graphics, in a variety of digital formats, and most come in HD. Shutterstock puts a huge world of video clips from around the world right at your fingertips. If you're a filmmaker, a videographer, maybe you're building a website, creating an ad, making a multimedia presentation, you're definitely going to want to check out Shutterstock because they have what you need for your next creative project. And this is kind of cool. Many of the contributors from Shutterstock are professional filmmakers just like you. Shutterstock is getting over 10,000 new video clips each week, so every time you visit, you'll find something new. And finding clips in Shutterstock couldn't be easier. They have a ton of really sophisticated search tools, and they allow you to drill down by category, clip resolution, contributor, and more. They also have excellent customer service and dedicated reps, providing 24-hour customer support throughout the week. And they have flexible pricing. You can choose between individual clips, or you can buy video packs. And then you can download clips in HD, or you can save them in SD, or in different web formats. So if you're creating a film, maybe working on a video project, and you need stock videography, definitely go check out Shutterstock.com. You don't need to sign up for an account or anything. You can just go to Shutterstock.com and begin searching right away and see how easy it is to find different clips. And if you do find clips that you like, this is the great part. You can save 30% off your order because they're sponsoring us. Just use the code CULTCAST and the number 8, and you'll save 30% off your order with your new account. So what are you waiting for? Go over to Shutterstock.com, begin perusing. I love having Shutterstock as a sponsor. We want to thank them for sponsoring the show. Go check them out, Shutterstock.com. And we're back! Welcome back to the Cultcast, everyone. Let's start with a quick question from our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecultcast. Thanks to everyone who suggested a topic for this week's show. We're going to save some of those for later, too, because we've got a lot of great ones. But we're running a little long, so we won't be able to do more than one. This one comes from Jonathan Maldonado. There's a lot of talk happening this week about the CEO of Oracle, Larry Ellison. He said in a recent interview that he thought that Steve Jobs was the Edison of our time, the Picasso of our time, and that Apple, without him, was going to be in trouble. Now, since we're already talking about Steve Jobs so much anyway, we thought we'd just pile on some more. So, Leander, let's start with you, since you have written the book on Steve Jobs and you know what happened inside his brain.
Yeah.
Do you think that Apple is going to be able to innovate as they have been or as they were with him now that he's gone?
You know, I hate to say it because it's the most pathetic opinion ever. But, you know, I still really don't know. Someone was saying that now is the most interesting time in the sort of post-Steve Jobs era, because this in September, this is going to be the first generation of products that he didn't actually see.
Aha, yeah.
This is them flying solo. And, you know, I mean, obviously, Jobs said this many times himself, you know, that Apple is not a one-man show. And I think everyone knows that he didn't dream up, these products out of whole cloth. But, you know, he also had an important contribution. And you know, doing all these interviews for the Johnny Ive book, you know, he was involved in a lot of the design decisions. But, you know, what he got to see was what Johnny Ive was presenting to him. Mm-hmm. And they were often, you know, sort of finished models or, you know, stuff that was actually quite far along in the pipeline. On the other hand, you know, stuff like the iPhone and the iPad, I mean, the initiative for those projects came in executive meetings, mm-hmm. you know, when they're talking on a very high level about what kind of products they want to get into. And they're looking at stuff they've got cooking up in the lab and in Johnny Ive's design department, and then, you know, making a commitment to develop them. And he's involved, in everything in the development, from the software to the marketing, you know, the stores, you name it. He had a hand in, you know, everything that company does. So I don't know, you know, it's almost a $64 million question that only time can tell.
You know, I'm kind of on the same page as you, so I'm glad that you said that, because I kind of feel like I'm on the fence as well. And
one more thing. One of the most interesting quotes in my book about Johnny Ive came from his old colleague, Clive Grinion.
This is your new book, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Grenier, who worked with Johnny and at the beginning of his career at Tangerine, before he came to Apple, said that he felt that Johnny was more important for Apple than even Jobs. That most of the innovation of the last, you know, the last 12 years came from Johnny Ive, not from Steve Jobs. Which I think is a controversial opinion, but that was his opinion from a professional designer.
You know,
and his best friend. So not exactly, you know, impartial, but interesting.
I should say also, in the movie, the guy they found to play Johnny Ive really honestly does look like Johnny Ive. He looks like a young, I don't know, 20-something version of him. He's even got the little Johnny Ive mole, which they start a scene focusing on.
Do they have the real Johnny Ive from when he was like old and had hair, or younger and had hair?
Yes.
Like that
yes.
version?
Yes.
Where he like looks version. All dorky looking?
Yeah. And there's a conversation where the two of them meet that happens that I won't comment on, but
he has a British accent, right?
Does he find him like in a basement or something working on a Bondi blue iMac? And
yeah.
And he's just like, must come to the top floor.
Yeah. He's in Steve Jobs is in robes. Like Jesus robes. He's gathering him. He's gathering his disciples. And Johnny Ive was one of the last ones. So well portrayed in the movie, or at least it looks like him. I do think that this is the big question, and we have yet to see what's going to happen. I think Apple's still innovating. I think all the questions they're not, I personally think are silly. I think they're obviously working on a bunch of stuff, which is why we're not hearing from them right now.
Yeah.
And once they're finished with whatever they're working on, we're going to see it. And that's when everyone's going to go crazy and lose their crap. And, oh my gosh, look, and the stock price is going to go to $8,000 a share. And everyone's going to be like, I knew they were innovating. But they're just kind of heads down mode right now. And we don't know what they're doing.
It took 3 years to get the iPad after the iPhone. I mean, it took more than three. Yeah,
they were developing the iPad in conjunction with the iPhone at exactly the same time.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just this stuff takes time. They map all this stuff out years and years in advance. I mean, it's just like the idea that they're done innovating because it's been not even 3 years since their last, you know, new market creating product is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's absurd. I mean, a lot of it has to do with, like, you know, stock manipulation. I think there's a lot of shenanigans. Like this whole thing with ICANN this week, you know, there's a lot of big hedge funds, you know, because it was a big stock, and they put out, you know, a lot of these press stories originate with, you know, fund managers who were trying to manipulate the stock price.
Yep.
Oh, interesting. And unless anyone has any last thoughts on this, the movie does a really good job at portraying Steve as a visionary, and that is the one piece that I do kind of worry about is. He would work closely with teams and kind of define where the company was headed. And I don't think that Tim Cook, y'all, although I love him, I don't think that is necessarily his strong point. He's an operations guy. I don't know if he's involved in the product design, but that is where I kind of worry that maybe they don't have somebody to take that role, because Steve was really great about ignoring, you know, extraneous information. I mean, he knew what products needed to be built, and then he focused the company's resources on those products. And now that he's gone, I kind of hope that there's somebody else there doing that. But as long as Johnny Ive is there, I do feel pretty good. If Johnny Ive were to leave tomorrow, this would be my last episode of the Cultcast. Welcome to the Windows Cast, my new project. Which would be fun, because then we could have Steve Ballmer on. You guys know how much I love Bomb Dog. It'd be great. Oh, yeah. Tons of yelling. I'd just be controlling the microphone levels the entire show so that his audio didn't peak. It'd be a great time.
Well, the thing is that they have – I hate to bang on about this, but they have a different set of problems. I think, you know, what Jobs brought the hardest thing to replicate for somebody else is that, you know, the insistence that good enough isn't good enough. You know, his pursuit of excellence, which I think, you know – it's very difficult in any organization or any part of life, you know, to live up to. It's really hard to say no. This is not good enough, you know, because in a lot of cases stuff is good enough, you know, and you just and you muddle through or you'll fix it on the next round. Mm-hmm. And I think that had a lot to do with Apple's innovation, where they threw stuff back to the lab and they had another go around. And a lot of the innovation came from that. I think from that constantly pushing. That's the hardest thing to replicate.
when you don't have someone screaming at you.
Well, yeah. You know, they definitely do. Cause Johnny Ive just was saying in a recent conference, you know, that when they find themselves talking too loudly about the merits of a product in a meeting, you know, that's like a signal, a danger sign to them that something's wrong. Mm. They're trying to convince themselves that it's good enough. So, you know, I don't know. You know, that was another sort of way of saying that, you know, of getting to the place that Jobs was in, you know, where he tried to constantly push people. I mean, you know, like things like when they were when Tim Wasko, he was a longtime UI designer then. He helped design the iPod interface. And the iPod really was a really radical product, you know, because it only did one thing and it got dinged for that when it came out because people wanted to have a radio and they wanted to be able to do playlists and rate songs on the go and stuff like that. But no, it just played music. And, you know, Jobs wanted to do everything in three clicks and he wanted only three buttons on the device and they couldn't. And Wasko said, he made this huge mistake. He said, everyone there at Apple knows that when you show something to Steve, even if you've come up with something great, you've got to have two sacrificial lambs. So you've got to get two things that he's going to reject. And what you do is you show those two things first, and he goes, no, that's rubbish. No, that's shit. And then you show him the thing that you really wanted to show him. And then he would rave about it. And because he's rejected two things, it was okay. You could go ahead. And he said when he was doing the iPod interface, the big mistake he made was that he just showed it to him. And Jobs said, no, this is no good. This is shit. You know, I want three buttons, not four. Uh-huh. And so he worked for like 3 months trying to get rid of that extra button, but knowing it was impossible because there was no way to do it. And in the end, he had to say, no, I can't do it. And Jobs said, okay, you know, he accepted it. But if he'd actually been a bit more strategic at the beginning, you know, he would have saved himself a lot of pain. But, you know, that kind of thing, you know, so I don't think in every single case, it doesn't always, you know, that kind of Jobs was almost did it as a knee-jerk
reaction. You know,
yeah, just as an instinct, you know, he just did it just to see what he could get, you know, and the way that Kushner portrayed him in the movie, you know, he was very manipulative. This was a way of this was his working, you know, his role, the way he did things.
That is definitely how he was portrayed, too.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, sometimes it worked and sometimes it obviously didn't. But it is really like an enigma, you know, it's almost impossible to predict, I think. And I don't think anyone in Apple knows either. I mean, you get a different opinion from different people. I asked a couple of the designers what they thought, you know, and some said it was going to be okay, and some said it was going to be in trouble.
Well, according to the movie, it always worked, Leander, every time.
Yeah.
He always made miracles by rejecting the first, second, and third projects. All right, we went a little long on the Steve Jobs discussion. Let's wrap up with yay or nay. The segment Shocker. That was supposed to be in the first third of the show. Let's just go ahead and wrap up with it. And this is the September 10th edition, assuming that we're going to have an Apple event on September 10th. We're going to go through the things that we expect to see there. The way it works is I will read something, and then everyone will say yay or nay. And then we can have a short discussion if necessary. Some of these I don't think we're going to need a discussion on. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We will see... yay or nay, we will see the introduction of the iPhone 5C at the September 10th event.
Obviously.
Yeah, that's not part of the game. Yay.
yay.
Leander.
Yay. Yay.
Alex.
Yay.
Okay, that's all yays. I think that's definitely happening. We've seen too much evidence for that not to be there. Let's go with one of my favorites, the Genie Munster. Old Genie, my old pal Genie. Piper Jaffray analyst has predicted that the 5C will launch without Siri. Yay or nay?
I don't think so. I'm going to say nay.
I'm going to go nay.
And I'm going to cut Gene a break because headlines made this out to be what it's not. If you actually read what he says such as Siri. He was talking about current features that Apple would need to take out to differentiate, and he didn't say that they will take out Siri. He listed Siri as an example, so he didn't necessarily predict that.
Well, in his email to me, he said he was gonna what?
Yeah. I don't think they're gonna take out a big feature like that.
No, Siri's way too big of a feature for them. I mean, it's in the ads and everything.
Yeah, it's kind of baked in. Right. It's full steam ahead on Siri. Okay, 5S will have a fingerprint sensor on September 10th, yay or nay?
It sounds like it.
So, yeah. That means you're
yay. Maybe.
I need to re-explain the rules of this game.
It's another yay.
Thank you. Oh, you're a yay. Oh, okay. Alex?
Yay.
Yay.
I'm 50-50. I can't decide at this point.
Have there been any parts leaks?
No, there's not been any, like,
thing. Yeah. There's not been any part leaks, but the I don't know if they're gonna. They're changing the way the home button's placed on the case now. I don't know. It could happen.
It's weird, only a month away,
so you think we would have seen a leak, right?
Well, that's what you would think, right? But at the same time, maybe that means it's more legitimate because it is a new part that they're keeping on wraps more.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's like there's enough circumstantial evidence to be like, yeah, maybe, but there's not been that, like, you know, that story that you're just like, oh yeah, this is definitely happening. Right. So not sure.
Well, they have that company now.
Authentic.
Yeah. For how long now? For quite a while.
Year. So. A year. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's keep this Yanay moving. Let's see. New iPad will come. It will be thinner, lighter, and look more like an iPad mini. This is, of course, the full-size iPad. Alex?
Yay.
Buster?
For sure.
Duh.
Excuse me? What?
I'm yay. Not sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yep. I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm a yay on that.
For me too.
Yay. Okay. I think that's a no brainer.
I'm going to get that for sure. I'm due for an upgrade. I'm on a third gen iPad. And,
I'm with you.
I want a Lightning one, and this one looks like it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
Especially if it's an iPad mini with Retina display.
No, I'm not getting the mini. I'm just talking about the 10 inch.
Oh, you're going to get a 10 inch iPad?
Yeah. I like the. Dude, I need 10 inches, not 7. All the ladies like the 10 inch.
That's what she said.
Well, the mini with a Retina screen.
I heard you needed an upgrade.
Sorry, what'd you say, Leander?
The mini with a Retina screen sounds really nice.
It does. Yeah.
Okay, hold on now. Don't jump into that yet, because that's the next year, Nate. We're going to see an iPad mini with Retina September 10th.
Yeah.
Remember, this is on September 10th, not after.
No, not on September 10th.
Answers changed. Later. Yeah, you didn't listen to the instructions. You're bad.
We're not going to have new iPad on September 10th either.
Oh, really? So you want to go ahead and change your answer for the last iPad too?
You didn't make that clear.
Trick question.
Oh my gosh, we're going to go through the whole thing again now?
We got to start all over.
Let's rewind.
From the beginning, let's go ahead and start with the news, Chris.
And talk about the movie.
We're going to need to talk about the movie again, too. Okay, so, I'm sorry, I tricked you. So I'm a yay on this, but not at the September 10th event. I don't think we're going to see this, but probably in the first
October,
3 months.
Right?
What's that?
Right.
It'll be in October.
Come out later October.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Like last year.
And Bloomberg was reporting that we're going to see a Retina edition, which would be great because that's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
Anybody else waiting for that one, Buster?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fantastic. No, I'm dude, 10 inches all the way.
Okay. Well, you can dream. Okay, last one, and then we should wrap it up. We're going to see a 15-inch Retina MacBook Pro update September 10th. Yay or nay, Leander?
Nay.
Ah, nay. Alex?
Nay, but we'll probably just see them throw in the new Haswell processor in October with the iPads.
Buster?
I don't. When was the last time the Retina MacBook Pros were updated? The 15.
They came out.
Inches.
They came
last
out last
year.
They
last
came out
September.
Last summer.
Yeah. So they'll probably get some kind of spec bump. I'm guessing.
But it's not going to be a big deal. Apple's not going to.
No, it's not. No, I don't even know if they'll announce it. They might even just do it on the site. You know.
Hey, I'm a nay on this one.
You're a nay.
Not at the September 10th event. I just want to pipe in here so I could agree. Yes, we're not going to see it then. But people have been asking me on Twitter. If it's going to see a huge redesign, but I think we're all in agreement. It's probably
redesign.
Just,
redesign.
Like an extra.
No, they're not going to redesign the MacBook Pros for like
five years. No, yeah, they're not. They're just going to give it the Haswell chips, which is what I'm waiting for. And I think just me, no one else is waiting for the MacBook Pro here, correct?
I already have one. Yeah. I have a Retina Pro from last year.
A Retina MacBook Air is what I'm waiting for.
Ooh. Yeah, that's going to be hot.
Yeah, that's going to be a while.
Flashy.
That's going to be super flashy. Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there, eh, fellows?
Okay.
Okay, unless you guys want to start over from the beginning. That might be fun.
Yeah.
So this is just like a rehearsal.
This is the rehearsal show. Let's go ahead and get into the real content. No, let's go ahead and wrap it up there, because that's all the content, all the cult casts we have for people this week. But you know what? The conversation continues on Twitter. Busters BST3R, Alex is Alex E. Heath. Leander's L. Caney. I'm at Airfawn. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how to use the model of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. That's a beautiful falsetto. Is that you, Alex?
Yep.
Oh, of course. Falsetto is lovely.
Oh, I thought that was El Caney.
I thought El Caney brought one of his underage sons onto the microphone to do that.
Are you calling Leander soon?
Soon. Oh, he's online. I was waiting for him.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
It's the governor.
Oh, hold on. My microphone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you back in your office?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
It's good to be back. And how do I make it work? Plugged in.
Well, it activated, but it sounds like the volume's pretty low.
It activated. You could hear a difference.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it is.
So go into your preferences, and then go to sound.
Aren't you sick of doing this every single fucking time? It's like dealing with fucking idiots.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I got it. It's up real high.
Yes, I do.
It's up really high.
Is it?
63%, yeah. Obviously, you've got hair growing in your ears. So.
Well, don't make fun of my internal ear hair growth, please.
Yeah. Oh, hold on.
Side effect of the Rode game.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one. Here we go, Rode Podcaster. Is that better?
Yeah. So.
Okay. Do I sound rich and...
Yeah, you do. Really high definition. It's like you're whispering in my ear.
Is it okay to cut the sound coming out of my Mac?
It's better not to.
Well,
because it can feed back into your microphone, and then it sounds like crap.
Why don't you could plug your earbuds into the mic like I do, and then you don't have to worry about that.
Plug my buds in.
Yeah, get your buds plugged in. I know you're in San Francisco. I know you got some.
How about just a Bluetooth headset? That's all I got.
You don't have headphones?
Well, not lying around. The f***ing kids nicked them.
Those bastards.
You're like the only person in San Francisco that doesn't have white earbuds right now.
Well, hold on. I do. Oh, hold on.
But they're not in your office.
Yeah, well, you know, I packed them all up to take on holiday.
Mm-hmm. And Lyle nicked them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Lyle, little thief. Dude, a little
hey,
robber.
Hey, you called the kids from hell, you f***.
Did I?
Yeah, Buster grassed you up.
I don't remember this.
You called them devil kids.
Oh, no, I was talking about the dogs.
Kids.
Yeah. Buster me. You're right. Yep, it was the kids. I believe I named them. I named them individually just so we were clear on whose kids were devil kids.